ran a marathon. Any marathon runners? Me neither, so I can't talk about it, but all right. One of the last time I was in front of this church, I led singing, and that was the day Greg died. And if I ever knew anybody who had a goal and was able to follow it, it was Greg. If you didn't know him, you really missed out. But I forget when he made the goal. He wanted to be a doctor, then he wanted to be a vet. But man, he never let anything pull him away from that. Even me, I would make fun of him. I'd be like, Greg, why are you studying all the time? Let's go watch hockey or something. And be like, man, look, hey, this is my job. I need to work. This is my goal. And he would have been excellent. He was amazing. Graduated summa cum laude, however that's pronounced. And, I mean, but he achieved all those things he set out to. But his most important goal was to get to heaven. And that's where he's at today. Amen. Because not only did he have a plan to become a veterinarian, he had a plan to get to heaven. He had a plan for the battle that he was facing day in and day out. And if I look at everything on earth, and I can tell that if it takes a plan, goal, practice, all these steps to achieve something on earth, let me tell you, you're not going to get to heaven on accident. You are not just going to stumble your way past the pearly gates and get to heaven. If it is not your goal, if it is not something you are working at day in and day out, you're not making it, okay? And I preach this because I have a goal of getting to heaven, but just like I did in high school and in college, I just seem to think that I'm just going to get there. That when I die, God's going to be like, hey, you were baptized. Cool. Come on in. That's not the way it's going to happen. And in fact, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and Paul talks about that. Verse 24, he says, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one who is beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. Man. So Paul didn't even consider himself as already attaining the goal, you know? He worked day in and day out. He trained his body. He had a plan. He had a goal. The goal was heaven, and he had a plan to get there. And that was training and constant battling, constantly working to strive for perfection. In Philippians 3, verses 8 through 16, it says, indeed, I count everything but loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think in this way. The immature person thinks that they've already made it, thinks that they have to do nothing. And I started that reading a little early, but the mature person realizes that they've got to keep striving towards the goal. Okay? And so some of the people who in the Bible who had a plan to get to the goal, I think of Daniel. Daniel was in captivity, okay? And they tried to trap Daniel by signing a law because they already knew that Daniel prayed to his God three times a day. Did Daniel stop? No. No, y'all can answer. No, Daniel didn't stop. When Daniel was first in captivity, they said, okay, you're going to eat these things, you're going to do all this stuff, and it violated everything God had told him. But Daniel wanted to do, he wanted to follow what God said, so he told him, no, I can't do that. Me, I'd be like, hey, you know, bring on the Papa John's. Daniel was a man whose only goal in life was to serve God. He didn't care whether his best friend was pulling him one way or the king pulled him one way, because that is the level of influence Daniel had around him. Daniel was friends with the king, okay? But he didn't care what the king told him to do. Daniel was going to do what he did because his whole goal was to get to heaven, and Daniel knew you're not going to accidentally get there. The church in Acts 2:46. It's brand new. It's in its infancy. They have just come together. But they knew that what they were up against. The goal was to get to heaven. So in Acts 2:46, if I can get there, we see, and day by day, we'll start in 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayers, and all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. That is a church whose number one goal is to get to heaven. I don't know that I'm there. I'm worried about work. I'm worried about the paycheck I get. And these people are selling everything, and instead of being devoted to employers or anything else, they were devoted to the teaching and studying of the scriptures and the breaking of bread and the edification of one another. And I try to say, well, they lived in a different time, and that may be so, but man, am I even close to what they were doing? And the answer is no, I'm not. I'm just not there. And you got to answer that for yourself on whether you are. And I want you to look at this story with me. Luke 12. If you don't know what it is, it's the rich fool. It's the parable of the rich fool. I'll go ahead and read it. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me judge of you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man had produced plentifully, and he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns. I will build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample. You are laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." I've spent my whole life separating myself from the rich fool, not realizing that that's exactly what I am. Okay, every day I go to work, not that having money and going to work is a bad thing. You've got to provide for your family, but it was my goal. It was the most important thing to me that I worked for, was to do that. And that's all this rich guy did. That is the worst thing he did here that we are evident of. It doesn't say he was running around. It doesn't say he was a drunkard on the town. It just says that he put his earthly possessions ahead of the goal of getting to heaven. That's me. I've done that. I probably still do it if I'm honestly evaluating myself. Are you? I can't answer that. But if I'm honest, I'm going to tell you that's what I do. Later on in Luke, Jesus says, "Stay dressed for action, keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants who he finds waiting." If our goal is to get to heaven, then we are acting like servants. We are waiting. We are actively waiting. We are here together because we are waiting for Jesus to come down. He's been gone for 2,000 years. The world is forgetting that he is coming back, but we haven't. We are here waiting on his return. And I never quite understood that passage until I went to the Middle East. And when I was in Iraq, we were patrolling the Tigris. And there was this beautiful house. Imagine that, in Baghdad. There was a beautiful house that didn't belong to Saddam. It belonged to one of his doctors, his brain surgeon. And it had a tower that overlooked the Tigris. And we thought, man, that would be a great place to observe the river. So we knocked on the gate. And it opened up. The yard was mowed. The trees were trimmed. Everything was beautiful. We went into the house, everything was clean. Everything was dusted. The food was in the fridge kind of deal. You know, it was ready. The master wasn't there. When America invaded, he knew it was coming. He fled to Europe and had been there for 6 or 7 years. But these guys kept it ready for their master to return home at any time. And it was ready. It was good to go. Are we keeping ourselves ready? If the goal is to get to heaven, we are. What do we got to do? What do we got to do? If this don't make it serious enough, Ephesians 6, 10, and I'm going to wrap it up with this one. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil." "Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, in all circumstances take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication to the end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. You know what that passage says? You're not going to make it to heaven by accident. You're not going to just get there. It is a battle. It is a spiritual battle, and you're not going to get there. I'm not going to get there. One, I'm not going to get there by myself. It's going to take help from each and every one of you to strengthen me. It's also going to take my willpower to realize what I'm up against and to start being the Christian I'm called to be. If you've not become a Christian, please come forward and be baptized. And if you've lost sight of your goal, if you've failed, if you need help, please come forward. I already did. This whole sermon was me coming forward saying I'm failed. So you don't have to be the first person up here. I'm already up here telling you I failed and asking for prayers. If you would, please come forward as we stand and sing.